come back. You know, you're not always invited back, right? And so looking forward to growing in our relationship with you as a church family. Janice and I live in Parker, Colorado. When we're in the United States? Some. Because we're just kind of here and there, and we've been with family here. Jacqueline and Josh and Everly and JJ live in Whiteheath, just about 30 minutes north of here. And so appreciated the invite a few months ago to come back and continue to grow the relationship with East Bend and get to know you a little bit better. Out at our little table, it's always hard, missionaries, trying to represent what God's doing in your heart and mind through a table. Okay, so I just need to put that out there. He's an incredible God. We have just three flyers introducing three of our leaders to you. We have dozens of leaders in over 30 countries that are helping Live Your Mission ignite disciple-making movements around the nations. And so we want you to know that this is just a few of those. If you feel compelled to partner with them in sharing the love of Christ, planting churches, there's opportunities to do that. As well as there's just a flyer out there, we have an opportunity to start a new camp / training center / a whole bunch of other things that God is going to continue to make in a property in northwest Kenya, not quite on the border of Uganda, but really close. And it's a strategic gift from heaven, something we never imagined that the ministry would have property, but God did. And now is the time to build out. And when I say $30,000 in our culture, that's like a car or maybe a car, you know. Here, that can build a whole dorm. And so that's one of the things this next year we're hoping to build a whole a dorm and then more. But as you can imagine, we need electricity and water and all kinds of stuff. So there's all kind of infrastructure that has to be provided to the property as well. As partners, we just ask, would you pray? Ask heaven to pour out the funding for the ministry that he has envisioned there. We don't want to do what we want to do. We want to be in a line with him. And so we're asking God's people, would you pray? Pray with us for his will to be done. And if part of that is financial, great, but just partner with us in prayer and asking God to move in the hearts of the people in this region. It's a region that's been hit by witchcraft and all kinds of other sorcery, and God is bringing the light of Christ, and we're excited about that. This morning, well, I'll echo, and if you want to hang out for lunch, we can do that too, and talk a little bit more about what that means to work together. James chapter 5, I was glad to have the opportunity to come and break God's word with you. And you and I, so that we share a common love for God's word, it's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. And I believe that despite my shortcomings, God will work this morning. And that's my prayer, that he will work in our hearts and minds to draw us more to himself, that you and I can be more Christ-like when we leave here today. And we'll talk a little bit more about what's that mean with crosses and a cross in the back. I'm coming, okay? I'm coming. This morning I want to talk about this thing that's a gift. And I don't know about you, but when I see a gift coming my way, I get pretty excited, and then I get like, can we open it now? And then the younger that you give a gift to, it's like they can't even wait, you know, and I love that excitement with kids when they receive a gift. We don't usually think of, I'm going to take this gift, and I'm going to put it up on the shelf and forget about it, or not open it, or not use it. And so when James brings this gift of prayer, I want you to know that throughout the ages, it's, and maybe this is just confession on my part, but it's often a gift that hasn't been used like our Father intended. And so this morning, I just pray that we'll revisit that. And what a gift prayer is from our Father. Now, when I have to be honest with you, I'm bringing a very passionate zeal for this gift this morning, because everything God gives us is for our relationship with Him. It's not so that we can check a box. I prayed twice today. I had three meals. I thanked Him for all three. Check, check, check. He wanted to be in relationship with us. And so He gave us a gift. And we're going to read about that. And so, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Is any one of you in trouble? Let's just take a raise of hands here. Is any one of you in trouble in here? Anybody had a trouble? Okay, there's five of us. Pray for the five of us. Six, seven, okay? I mean, this is just like one of those global statements, right? Is anybody having any troubles in their life? He, she should pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like this. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Let's pray again. And so, Father, we just come in faith that this is your heart. These words are your words, living and active. Have your way with us. We believe that you have given this instruction to us for us to be fully alive in you. So use what I share this morning just to nudge us closer in our relationship with you and with each other. In Jesus' name. And together he said, amen. 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 I have a vivid picture of active love in my life. And it's this woman in my life called Nana. My wife is like on cloud 19, 20, 28 when she is in her Nana mode. Nana is short for grandma, any other, you know, it's just, I married her as a 23, and I'm telling you, she is just ignited in Nana mode. And Nana mode is, Jim, move out of the way, my grandkids are here, one or more. And if there is the back of the bus, I'm in that seat because I have just been demoted so she can just blossom, and it's just awesome. I love to see Janice in Nana mode. In the back of the bus, I can go on those fumes because Nana is just wonderful. The parents of our grandchildren, a necessary evil to get grandchildren. You know, I don't know how to say it, you know. Son-in-laws, but we tried to make friends and all that, but sometimes they get in the way. And I see this happen. Children will have a tendency to disobey and need to be corrected. And when that happens and they get sent to their room for a timeout, I have to go to our room with Nana because she is going to say these words to me, "This is just killing me." Do you have such a person in your life? When our grandchildren are being corrected and are prophetically in the first phrase, "Is anyone in trouble?" Okay? It's killing her. You see, she's a glimpse of Jesus. He's just wanting to have the best time with us all the time. And when we're not, and we're not in complete fellowship with Him, it's just killing Him. From before creation, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit put perfect love in motion. And this perfect love knew that you and I would fall out of sync with them. And we would be in trouble. And they let it just kill the Son. So that we could discover how passionate this great love of God is, that He would go to the furthest extent of the expression of His love to be back in fellowship with us. In the meantime, when you and I keep getting into trouble, and some of that trouble is between each other, like now I have to talk to my daughter and son-in-law after the service and make sure we're okay, you know. They wanted us to have a discipline in our relationships that would work. Confess to one another, pray, and be healed. These words are divine words from heaven, but they're working words. God never expected that we would just have this mental capacity up here where we'd go, "I believe," and that would be enough. Our faith, as we studied in the book of James, would need to be in action. Faith without works is? Were you guys here? Come on. Faith without works is? Dead. It doesn't work. It has to move. It has to be working within us, or it's not faith. It's some kind of concept where we go, "Well, I believe," but James says, no, it's got to be at work. And part of this work of praying for forgiveness is confessing to one another, is coming together and said, "Ugh, I blew it. I did something, I said something, I did something that put enmity between myself and God or myself and another human being." And God is saying, let's do work on that. Let's get that out. Let's get it out in the open. Let's be done with that. So back to Nana. Nana's really awesome until she's worn out. And then she's like, "I'm exhausted. I need a nap. Or I need to go to bed. Or I need a break." And that's the finite aspect of you and I. We just can't go and go and go. So there's times where we have to recognize that, look, I need a break from us so that I can go become my best and go again. Thankfully, we have a God who does not slumber. That's pretty awesome. He's ready for us to come to Him at all times and seek what we need from Him. So I'm going to go back to the first few words of James, where James introduces himself as a servant of God. Things in his life have changed dramatically Scholars would suggest that this is Jesus's half-brother. So if you don't agree with that, we can talk later, but I'm going to run with that. That this is a guy that grew up with Jesus in the house. That would be pretty tough. Why can't you be like Jesus? Okay. My brothers were not perfect, but they were older than me, and I heard enough. Why can't you just be like Mark? Or why can't you be like Paul? And those unmet expectations wound us. But here's a man that has done a lot of internal work with his life and is now able to say, a servant of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. That's internal work. To be able to acknowledge that in my family, God brought the Messiah. And he's my Lord. We also read in Acts where James was a pillar of the church of Jerusalem, an elder. So he did a lot in personal ministry with the body of Christ. And so he's coming, being moved by the Spirit of the living God to write what you and I call James. But he's just writing some very practical advice driven by the Holy Spirit for the church throughout the ages, and you're at week 10 of a lifetime. Because we're all coming to the Word of God saying, okay, Lord, what do you have for me? But I want you to understand some bias that he had to bring to relationships. You see, they were at the point of differentiation between Old Covenant and New Covenant. You and I have absorbed a lot of our teaching just from the New Covenant era that we are in. But in the Old Covenant, structurally, God spoke to the children of Israel through prophets, priests, and structurally through kings. They expected the kings to be leaders of justice. But because they weren't God's chosen, they kind of messed up along the way. Prophets are who they expected to get guidance and discipline from. When you saw a prophet coming to a town, to a village, wherever he's coming, you're like, okay, this could be good and it could be challenging. He could be coming to guide us and he could be coming to correct us because he has a word from the Lord. That was the ministry of prophets. Priests, they were who the children of Israel went to because they needed to confess sin, because they needed to do spiritual work, and they brought their priest sacrifices, and the priest offered their sacrifices before God, either in the tabernacle, eventually in the temple, and then you have different levels of priests, and you have that high priest. And then you have kings along the way. That's the Old Covenant thinking of a person in the Jewish community growing up. This is how God speaks to us. Through the Word, through the Torah, through the prophets, through the priests, through the king. And then Jesus. The veil of the temple is rent. Eventually, the temple's burned. And the new first century body of Christ is trying to figure out this role of Jesus. And they're discovering that in the Old Testament, it was prophetic that he would be prophet, priest, and king. And here's his half-brother going, servant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a lot. That I'm recognizing that my brother is the fulfillment of the promised one. And now I don't have to go through all these hoops with the prophet or the priest or the king. And James is writing, guess what? Each one of us can now go before God. Do you understand how revolutionary this was? He's saying that in the name of Jesus, you and I can pray for each other. In the name of Jesus, we can do work and ask the Holy Spirit who's within us to help us get through this or that. So this is, you know, you and I might approach James and just go, well, I don't know. But this is revolutionary to the body of Christ of the first century that you have now a gift. God has given you a gift. I want to read Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. Sorry it's not up on your screen, but here it is. Paul saying, therefore, since we have been justified through what? Faith. A key theme of James. We've been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith. Wow. Into this grace in which we now stand. Wow. So often, Satan wants to confuse you and I about where is our standing before God. Does God, is he pleased with you right now? Is he wanting to like kick you out? Is he done with you? Satan loves to get us in doubt and confusion. He wants us in fear. He doesn't want us walking in faith. And Paul says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Jesus did a whole bunch of work so you would have access. Bling. In the old covenant, the high priest had access to the Holy of Holies. And now you and I have access. This is a big work. You place your faith in Jesus. He did the work. The veil of the temple's gone. And you and I have this gift of prayer. We have gained access into the grace in which we now stand. And it is a completed work. You and I get to stand in grace. Not something that you and I have to achieve every day, something that was given to us. God, in His divine wisdom, wanted you and I to have access to prayer. Why? Because He knows what a mess up you and I are. So He's like, I know, you're going to keep blowing it, so I'm going to give you direct access to me through the blood of Jesus. There later in Romans 5, He says, you know, Jim, you're going to need this because you're never going to deserve this, but while you are yet a sinner, Jesus died for you so you could have ongoing access. Love it. Jesus has one more role. He's prophet, he's priest, he's king, he is the Lamb of God. He is the final sacrifice. That was the bridge from old to new. The old covenant, blood of bulls and goats. The new covenant, the perfect Lamb of God. Wow. James is bringing all that. Here he is. He's understanding his readers. We used to think this way. We practice this way. Not anymore. You and I have a gift. Open the gift. The gift is you're in trouble, pray. You're sick, go to the elders and have more prayer. You're in conflict with each other, confess your sins to one another. You don't have to go, oh, should I? Yes, you do. Go get it done and pray so that your relationship can be healed. Your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse, your fellow man. I'm going to have to pray with my family after today's message, right? I pray that we will, because I need it. You and I need it. But we have total access. What a gift. What a gift. And God turns this picture of you and I being willing to do the work of prayer for each other so big that he says, remember Elijah, one of your favorite prophets in the Old Testament? He prayed and it didn't rain. Well, guess what? There's work in the new covenant. And I want you to know that that work is yours when you pray for a brother who's wandered away from the truth. You don't have to just say, oh, he's all that or what. Go pray for that brother. Go pray for that sister. Go pursue them, because if you turn them from their wandering, you help cover a multitude of sins. What's he saying? He's saying that relationally, we're in mission with one another. And that when you and I mess up, go after each other. Go get her. Go get him. Just like he goes and pursues us. Resist the temptation to think, well, I'm more righteous than them. Go get them. Go pray for them. Go intercede for them. A big work is taking place in your heart and mind when we're living in the mission of using the gift of prayer. And sometimes we come to this passage and we want to kind of piece it and impart it and make it look impossible, and I don't know, and do you believe this or do you believe? Wait a minute. Let's just go do what we see. Can we go pray for each other? God has taught Janice and I so much about himself working amongst the nations. The majority of the body of Christ around the world does not have the Bible. When we work with a local church in North Africa, Egypt, Ukraine, 2-5% might have a Bible. Some of them, it's 25, 35 years old. And they don't know what it means, but they carry it. That's why God says, but I'm a God of spirit and truth. And he leads his people. And he's been teaching us so much about how he loves his people and pursues his people beyond our Western ideas. The greatest missionary movement, maybe of all time, is happening right now out of the underground church of China. And the underground church of China, the average underground church has 2-3 pages of one of the Gospels. That's all. And they're the most mission-minded body of Christ known in the last 2,000 years. Their passion about what God's doing in the forgiveness of sins and in the ministry of love. That's hard for my mind to comprehend. But you and I serve a supernatural God. And he's working in the underground church in China, sending out missionaries throughout China, throughout Burma. They have a prayer that there'll be a scarlet road from China to Europe to take the blood of Christ. That's what they pray for. They pray for us. They're exercising faith. God, work in us. Pretty cool stuff, huh? Because God is working in the hearts of his people. Satan is also at work. He wants us to doubt that this really works, or that we'll get confused in how it's supposed to work. What do you mean use oil? And then we get all distracted about God working. Well, I'll just tell you, the most common uses for anointing someone with oil throughout Scripture, the prophets would anoint someone with oil to put them into mission. God's calling you to be king. God's calling you to do this. And so when we anoint someone with oil, we can just be praying, I want God's will to be done every day of your life. It was never to be distracted. There's some kind of healing agent to the oil. But our televangelist will send you some if you donate. That was never meant. It was this personal connection that God has chosen you. And I want you to know this, body of Christ. He's chosen you to be the light of Christ unto the world. So we just pray his mission over each other. The second most common use, we see it in Mary, when she anointed Jesus for what? Burial. And sometimes, as elders, we anoint someone on their deathbed. It looks like their mission is complete. This side of heaven. And we recognize, but it's not like there's something magic in the oil. It's just we're recognizing the love of the gift to pray for them. There might be other uses that you see in Scripture. Those are the two most common ones, and they seem to fit. I'm telling you, if I'm taking my last breath, come pray over me. Anybody here not wanting to be prayed over? But if I'm in conflict with one of you, let's get together, confess. It's just like, I'm sorry, I really messed this up. Be healed. Confess and pray for one another. We've been given a great gift. James 1, you started a few weeks ago, 19 and 20 says that you and I are to be a people who are swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, so that we can what? Do the word of God. Chapter 2, verse 26. Faith without works is dead. You and I have to let it work in us. What a wonderful thing that a perfect God would choose to do work in your heart and mind so that you and I could be closer to him and closer to each other. So what do we do when we pray and confess? I think what we do is we tell hell, enough of your lies. I'm not okay continuing to carry this. I'm broken. And for me to be in deceit that I'm not hurting or that I'm okay when I'm not okay, how are you? I'm okay. Sure doesn't sound like it. Yeah. Because I'm carrying something. And the Lord wants me to get it out. And I need a brotherhood. I need a church where it's safe to get it out. And so James talked about, don't judge one another. Be safe. Be so loving that you're in a great place just to get it out. Because when you and I get it out, we're making room for God. So three of the brothers here joined Josh and I at a Mark Men for Christ weekend. This is a towel so that you don't think I'm making a bad mess up here. But we use this illustration in our ministry that you and I are like a full glass of water. And this water in here is not what the Lord wants me to have. This is me. And there's so much of me in here. There's my deceit. There's my other sins that I'm struggling with. There's my attitudes. There's all kinds of me in the way. And so what God is saying, I want to have my way with you, but you're going to have to get rid of some of you, Jim. And so we talk about doing work. And that work is to pour out. We pour out our terrible attitudes. We pour out and confess our sins in a safe place. And so what we're trying to say is, if you want God in your life, make more room for Him. And this is just a little illustration of how do we do less of me, more of Him? How do I do that? Well, I've got to get some stuff out, and I need a safe place so that He can come in. And so this morning, I'm a guest speaker, so I kind of get to do some guest things, right? And then you decide if you ever want me back or not. I know how it goes. We want to give you an opportunity to do what we call work. Janice and I moved to Denver, Colorado in 1991. We moved in on her birthday, month of November. We just both became card-carrying Medicare people this month. Looks like we fit in with this group. But we created, God was asking us to plant a church that was a safe place for people to do work. And so when we would finish a series, we would create time for work. And so I asked Luke, when he asked me, could you do wrap up James? And I said, I would like to. Could I create some space for work? And so if you don't like what we're going to do, blame Luke. I'm innocent in all this. Here's what that looks like. I'm going to have you guys, there's some hearts. So Janice and Luke, and you can grab them. Just pass these out to everybody. We want everybody in here. If we run out, there's some in the very back. Could I have a couple people just step outside? I think they're on the ledges there. Oh, thanks, Angie. Yeah. This is you should also have your pen. If you don't have a pen, would you raise your hand? We'll get a pen to you. Anybody not have a pen? Okay. Because I'm going to ask you to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to do some work. In our culture, we celebrate independence. Not the day of independence, but I'm my own man. And that's not who God created you to be. He created you and I to be in fellowship with Him. He's so serious about that that if you have given your life to Christ, He sent His Holy Spirit to take up residence in you. And He is a down payment on your life. And God's saying, I want to keep shaping and sharpening you to be like my Son Jesus. And so He says, I've got this whole idea that you become Christ-like. And part of that is to do work. And so here's what I'm asking. That you allow the Holy Spirit to reflect in your heart and mind anything that you need to confess to God. That could be, I don't like today's speaker. Okay? It could be an attitude of arrogance, of pride. It could be an addiction. It could be anything the Holy Spirit says, I want you to be clean of this. And you write that down in your words. It might be two words, and it stands for something bigger for you. It might be a whole paragraph. But this is your work, okay? And then in a few moments, we're going to have a couple songs on the video. And that's just what we call cover music, so that you and I can do music. We can do heart work with the Holy Spirit, write it down. And then there's a cross out back, and there's two up here. And I'm just going to ask that you wait. There's a few of us that are going to do our work, and we're going to bring, there's a container up here for you to bring your confession. And when you have it complete, you just fold it half, two times, five times, 22 times. A couple times is just fine. And then you come to the cross, because this is where Jesus did the final work for us. And up here is a reminder that where he wanted you and I is in that grace in which we now stand. You and I are letting the Holy Spirit to do a work that realigns us with heaven's work so that you and I could even stand before a holy God. But we don't stand in our own righteousness. We stand in the righteousness of Jesus. And he laid it all down for us. He became our sacrifice. Does anybody have any questions? So what that looks like is that our Lord and Savior paraded himself, allowed himself to be paraded through Jerusalem to Golgotha to die for us. I'm asking that, as awkward as you might feel, allow yourself to be moved to one of the crosses. You might have to say, excuse me, three or four times, but do work right now. You see, this is one of those moments where we don't just go out of the sermon and say, yeah, I think that was a good sermon or something. No, it says our faith must work or it's dead. And so we're allowing the Holy Spirit to do work right now. That doesn't mean we're a completed work, but we're allowing God to work right now. And here I want you to hear this. There's healing waiting all the time when we take God at his word. He's the one. It wasn't today's speaker. He's the one that said, confess, pray, and be healed. We'll have a few of us. We'll do our work. And then we'll be at the cross. If you choose, I want somebody to pray for me right now. But if you have it going and you just want to come and you want to hold on to the cross, this is your time. Okay? There's no rules or anything. It's just a space of time for us to do work. You've been given the gift of a pen and the paper. This is time for us to confess and receive that which has been granted us in Jesus' name. Let's pray. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask you to have your way with us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us access. It's not what we earned. You gave us a gift. Access to your grace. Access to forgiveness. Access to living in mission with you. And so, Father, help us to listen to your Spirit. Have your way with us. Work in us. Less of us, whole bunch of you. So that we can go and be in mission, be alive in you this week. So together in Jesus' name, we continue to pray and do our work in Jesus' name.